morning, friends. Welcome to morning worship. We open our worship by singing to God's praise, hymn number 22, The Lord's My Light. 22. Worship the Lord in the beauty of holiness. Fear before him all the earth. Let us pray. Almighty God, we worship you, the God whom others have worshipped in generations before us throughout all the ages. God of the patriarchs of the Israelite race, God of the kings and the prophets, God, who made yourself known in the Lord Jesus Christ and in the activity of the Holy Spirit, we rejoice in the privilege of joining to worship you in our own time. O Lord our God, you are our Father. We take a humble position in your presence, knowing how our lives fall short of what you ask of us and of the example you've given us in Jesus. Forgive us, Lord, that we so easily forget that it is you who know what is best for us. Forget that our lives are bound up with those of others. Forget to keep our mind fixed on Jesus, our Master and Guide. Help us to see those mistakes. Grant us the strength to overcome them and the perseverance to go on seeking to do your will and not our own. Make us ready to see the needs of others and to do what we can to help to meet those needs. Grant us the faith to entrust ourselves, our dear ones, and all our concerns to your fatherly care. Through Jesus Christ, our Lord, who taught us to pray, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever. Amen. Hymn number 153, Great is thy faithfulness. 153. We read God's word in the Old Testament, the book of the prophet Jeremiah, chapter 10, at verse 1. Jeremiah, chapter 10, at verse 1. Hear what the Lord says to you, O house of Israel. This is what the Lord says. Do not learn the ways of the nations, or be terrified by signs in the sky, though the nations are terrified by them. For the customs of the peoples are worthless. They cut a tree out of the forest, and a craftsman shapes it with his chisel. They adorn it with silver and gold. They fasten it with hammer and nails so that it will not totter. Like a scarecrow in a melon patch, their idols cannot speak. They must be carried because they cannot walk. Do not fear them. They can do no harm, nor can they do any good. No one is like you, O Lord. You are great, and your name is mighty in power. Who should not revere you, O King of the nations? This is your due. Among all the wise men of the nations and in all their kingdoms, there is no one like you. They are all senseless and foolish. They are taught by worthless wooden idols. Hammered silver is brought from Tarshish and gold from Uphaz. What the craftsman and goldsmith have made is then dressed in blue and purple, all made by skilled workers. But the Lord is the true God. He is the living God, the eternal King. When he is angry, the earth trembles. The nations cannot endure his wrath. Tell them this: these gods, who did not make the heavens and the earth, will perish from the earth and from under the heavens. But God made the earth by his power. He founded the world by his wisdom and stretched out the heavens by his understanding. When he thunders, the waters in the heavens roar. He makes clouds rise from the ends of the earth. He sends lightning with the rain and brings out the wind from his storehouses. Everyone is senseless and without knowledge. Every goldsmith is shamed by his idols. His images are a fraud. They have no breath in them. They are worthless, the objects of mockery. When their judgment comes, they will perish. He who is the portion of Jacob is not like these. For he is the maker of all things, including Israel, the tribe of his tabernacle. The Lord Almighty is his name. And in the New Testament, Mark's Gospel, chapter 4, at verse 1. Mark, chapter 4, at verse 1. Again, Jesus began to teach by the lake. The crowd that had gathered round him was so large that he got into a boat and sat in it out on the lake while all the people were along the shore at the water's edge. He taught them many things by parables, and in his teaching said, "Listen, a farmer went out to sow his seed. As he was scattering the seed, some fell along the path, and the birds came and ate it up. Some fell on rocky places where it did not have much soil. It sprang up quickly because the soil was shallow. But when the sun came up, the plants were scorched and they withered because they had no root. Other seed fell among thorns, which grew up and choked the plants so that they did not bear grain. Still other seed fell on good soil. It came up and grew and produced a crop, multiplying 30, 60, or even 100 times." Then Jesus said, "He who has ears to hear, let him hear." When he was alone, the 12 and the others around him asked him about the parables. He told them, "The secret of the kingdom of God has been given to you, but to those on the outside, everything is said in parables, so that they may be ever seeing but never perceiving, and ever hearing but never understanding, otherwise they might turn and be forgiven." Then Jesus said to them, "Don't you understand this parable? How then will you understand any parable? The farmer sows the word. Some people are like seed along the path where the word is sown. As soon as they hear it, Satan comes and takes away the word that was sown in them. Others, like seed sown on rocky places, hear the word and at once receive it with joy. But since they have no root, they last only a short time. When trouble or persecution comes because of the word, they quickly fall away. Still others, like seed sown among thorns, hear the word, but the worries of this life, the deceitfulness of wealth, and the desires for other things come in and choke the word, making it unfruitful. Others, like seed sown on good soil, hear the word, accept it, and produce a crop 30, 60, or even 100 times what was sown. And the Lord bless to us the reading of his holy word, and to his name be the glory and the praise. Hymn number 209, Father, we praise you. 209. Gospel chapter 4 at verse 3, a farmer went out to sow his seed. We've probably heard this parable referred to by three different titles. We call it the parable of the sower, the parable of the seed, and the parable of the soil. Each of those titles has some justification. The sower is the first element mentioned by Jesus in the parable. It is the sower doing his seed scattering, which gives occasion for this particular illustration. It makes sense also to call it the parable of the seed. The seed is intended to produce fruit, and the story is about its success or failure in doing that. Likewise, it's the condition of the particular soil into which the seed falls that determines whether it produces the expected yield or not. So it's also appropriate to call it the parable of the soil. All those different ways of referring to the parable, each with its emphasis on a different element in the story. You'll see from today's leaflet that this time we've simply called it the sower, concentrating attention on the occasion for Jesus to choose this illustration for his message. We can picture the scene. Jesus is by the lakeside. As so often happens, a crowd gathers round. As soon as they know where Jesus is, people flock to listen to his teaching. There is this crowd then, so Jesus retreats into a boat. He's close to the shore, and he's facing the people and facing the shore. The fields are not far from the lake, and Jesus can see a sower at work in a field. The people listening to him can see him too. Maybe Jesus points in the direction of the sower, and the people turn round to see. It was a common enough sight. A sower going about in the field, sowing the seed, which he hopes will in due course produce this year's crop of grain. So, having caught sight of the sower, Jesus makes use of him to begin delivering his message. This is the kind of thing which Jesus does. He did it repeatedly in the course of his public ministry, and he still does in the lives of people today. Jesus has deep things to teach, but he doesn't begin by plunging straight into the depth of them. He leads on from the here and now to bring people to the there and then, we may say, beginning on that one occasion with what was happening then in a nearby field. He moved people's thought on towards heaven, something which the people could readily see, leading on towards the invisible truth of God, something with which the people were familiar, leading on to something which they had never realized. That was the essence of the teaching of Jesus. And with you and me, he does the same even today. Things with which we are familiar, things we see and deal with every day in life, he uses those things as a starting point to lead us on so that we can more readily grasp the deeper truth. The Church of Scotland evangelist of 60 years ago or more, the Reverend D.P. Thompson, was very aware of this as he went about his evangelistic work. He would encourage members of his team to use whatever was ready to hand and bring out of it some aspect of the gospel message. Conducting a campaign in a city office, for example, he would say, "Start with that typewriter or that telephone. Tell people what it has to teach us about God." In this, D.P. was faithfully following the example of the Master himself. Jesus used this method of beginning with the earthly, shall we say, and leading on to the heavenly. In this way, Jesus showed that he believed not just that there was a connection between earth and heaven, but that there was a live relationship, a kinship between them. Jesus taught people to see that God is at work in the ordinary, normal things of human life. Sunshine and rain, sunrise and sunset, and so on. It's a very healthy and a very helpful way to look at life. Naturally, it's where the parables of Jesus come in. He taught in this way because the parable begins with ordinary, daily things and leads the listeners on from there to consider the things of God, how God works in human life, what God expects of his human creatures. We think of the parables. We think of the word parable. And because we're Christian people, because we're church-going people, we think of the parables which Jesus told. He told a lot of them, that we can say. There are quite a number of them recorded in the Gospels. And who's to say how many others he told in the course of his public ministry, which don't happen to have been recorded here. Today we've concentrated on one particular parable, called the parable of the sower, or the seed, or the soil. But we're thinking today not so much of the meaning of the particular parable, but rather of the parable as a method of teaching, which Jesus frequently used. One thing we notice about the parables as Jesus used them is that they were not rehearsed, prepared in times of serious study. They were spontaneous pieces of teaching arising from everyday occurrences. Many years ago, there used to be a weekly newspaper called the British Weekly. The late Professor Willie Barclay contributed a column to it for a while. His column was really just a gathering together of snippets of news of interest to Christian readers. And Barclay gave his column a Latin title. He called it obiter visa, things seen by the wayside. It's things of that kind which provide Jesus with the starting point for his parables. The starting points were obiter visa, things seen by the way. Like this man in the field, busy sowing his seed. People listening to Jesus could see him there. And beginning with their observation of him, Jesus leads them on to think of what happens to the seed he's sowing, depending on the kind of soil that it falls into. We read the parables of Jesus in the course of our reading of the New Testament, but we'll have to keep in mind that they were not originally meant for reading. They were meant to be heard. They were part of Jesus' spontaneous oral teaching. That should give us pause for thought. Jesus taught people in different ways in the course of his public ministry. Likewise, he seeks to teach us as we go on our way through life. Some of what he seeks to teach us will come through what we read and what we receive in some formal setting. But much of what he teaches us will begin with obiter visa, things seen by the way. Things which are there for us to notice and learn from in the course of our day-to-day life. We maybe see the same things in the same places and the same people day after day or time after time, and we're so used to those experiences that we normally don't give them more than a passing thought. But one day, maybe for no easily accountable reason, the completely familiar thing, the customary routine experience, is able to strike a chord with our mind or our heart, and we can learn a truth which was perhaps always there, but which finds its moment to break through to us. So we seek to condition our mind and heart to receive the Lord's teaching, especially when it comes in that way, from obiter visa, things seen by the wayside. We don't know how many people benefited from hearing the parables which Jesus told. What we can say is that they heard the parables and had the opportunity to learn what the parables had to teach them because they were with Jesus. That point is surely the signal to us, isn't it? We need to be with Jesus. Here in Sunday worship, yes, of course, but every day in his company, every day of our life. That's the way that we can best stay alert, awake to his teaching, ready to learn his lessons about life, how we treat other people, how we handle our possessions and the material things of life, how we think about God, how we respond to God as he calls us day by day. The priceless lessons which Jesus teaches, there for us to learn and benefit from as we make our way through life. May God help us then, as he's given us his Son, Jesus Christ, to be our pattern and our guide, so may he help us to live and walk daily with Jesus, so that he may hold our attention by means of things on earth and lead us to heaven. And now to God, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, be all honour and glory, now and evermore. Amen. We worship God in presenting our offering. Thank you. hymn number 522, a hymn we're going to be singing next Sunday as well. The church is wherever God's people are praising. 522. Let us pray. Almighty God, we seek to serve you with our best endeavors. Receive our offerings as part of our service to you. Help us to live close to Jesus Christ so that our life may be of service. Lord, we thank you for all your goodness. We thank you for your grace and favor to generations before us and for the knowledge that you are still the same forever. For all your goodness shown in the world of nature, in the things of daily life, in human relationships, in joys and sorrows, in crisis and likewise in plain sailing. For every way in which you bless our lives, O Lord, we give you thanks. Most of all, we thank you for Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, for your saving of the world through him, your help given through him as we fight life's battles, the glorious hope given through him of the life triumphant and eternal. We pray for the church, one holy church throughout the world and throughout the ages. Enable the members of the church to spread the word of your love to all the world. Bless those who exercise temporal rule. Guide them in the right way. Bless those involved in industry. Help workers and management to understand and cooperate with one another. Bless those whose work is with the sick. Guide and strengthen them and prosper their work. Bless those who are ill and help them to know the joy of your presence and the touch of your healing hand. Be with our dear ones wherever they are. Help us all to give our best in daily living so that we come close to one another in living close to the Lord Jesus Christ. We thank you, Lord, that your church transcends the bounds of time and space and survives the angry shock of opposition and the drifting sands of apathy. We thank you for those who have shown us the way. Help us to follow faithfully their example and to enter with them into the eternal city which stands unharmed upon the eternal rock, even Jesus Christ, our Lord, who lives and reigns with the Father and the Holy Spirit, one God, world without end. Amen. Friends, today's leaflet reminds us, and I remind you again, of the service next Sunday. We have had a vacancy in this congregation for quite some time now, and turning our thoughts to that, and thinking about it, we're having this service next Sunday to concentrate on it. And what affects us here, of course, affects equally the congregation of our dear down the street, and so we're having a combined service for both ourselves and the congregation of our dear. The service is being held here in this church and will begin at 11 o'clock, and the children will be here as well. There are cars arranged to be available to bring the children of our dear congregation to join the Children of Our Jesus and Me Club, and we'll all be together here for this service next Sunday. So that's next Sunday, and the service is at 11 o'clock. During the service, Mr. Andrew Tomlinson here is going to say a few words about the procedure of the vacancy. Meantime, we're going to close this service by singing hymn number 553, Just As I Am, 553. Now may the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all, this day and forevermore.